Spiritual experiences are gifts of God, given directly to support and encourage our faith and growth in Christ. We are to share them with others, but evidently not with all others. These are pearls that you don't necessarily want to put before people who will ridicule or treat them with disdain. But then again, you might risk it. Lord knows the early church sure did, beginning with Jesus himself, and the Gospels are full of spiritual experiences, signs, great works, miracles. In both of our main lessons today, Moses and Jesus have different but not dissimilar spiritual experiences. And those who are looking on also are sharing that experience. These stories are meant to support our faith. Ah, somebody's not able to hear.
I think the mic is off.
And now it should be on. Okay. Oh, you're the mic guy. So you kept turning it up, hoping you could catch me. All right, you didn't miss much. But these stories are meant to support and encourage our faith. Those two stories you just heard about Moses and Elijah and the shared experience that those who were looking on had. The Bible and Christian history are full of these kinds of spiritual experiences, of visions, voices, healings, and other great works of God. Moses has a seminal experience here, receiving the Ten Commandments, which helped the people believe even more as they heard that story that God was working through Moses. Peter, James, and John, and all of those they told this story to, and it's recorded in all three synoptic Gospels, this story, helped to confirm that Jesus was God's Son, that he was much beloved, and third, we were to listen to him. That's a lot to say from one voice in heaven. Now, in John's Gospel, the fourth Gospel, there are only seven such signs. Fewer, many fewer. Yet, this is how he ends his Gospel. This is his words. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Spiritual experiences come so that we may believe, have our faith confirmed. But as Peter, James, and John heard, especially to listen to him. Now, most of you know I am also a psychologist. And sometimes people, knowing that I'm a pastor in my office, will want to tell me about a spiritual experience they've had that's helped bring some healing, some support to them, or they want to try and understand it. 90% of the time, whether I'm in my office as a psychologist or as a pastor, when people start to tell me these stories, they say, "You might think I'm crazy, but..."
Ain't that the truth?
Front row. Amen, sister, huh? Isn't that funny? Well, part of that's because of the 19th century rational philosophy, and then the 20th century, it even snuck into our churches and our seminaries and our training. We didn't believe things happened like that anymore. If they ever happened. Sometimes it was taught that the Bible, they created those stories to carry the message. But what if we go back to what everybody else believed before the 19th century and the 20th century, that such things can happen, and science has taken a turn to look at these things and finding them to be real? Well, one thing's for sure, the Bible writers didn't think they were crazy when they were writing all of this. But I want to tell you about a story back in the 1950s. During a visit to a mental asylum, a visitor asked the director what the criterion were that defined whether or not a patient should be institutionalized. Well, said the director, we fill up a bathtub, then offer a teaspoon, a cup, and a bucket, and instruct the patient to empty the bathtub. Oh, I understand, said the visitor. A normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger than the spoon or the teacup. No, said the director. A normal person would use the bucket, but a normal person would pull the plug. Then the psychiatrist said, do you want a bed near the window? Now, how many of you would have been institutionalized by hearing the dilemma proposed by that joke? The joke is only in the written word, though. It helps to have the visual, to actually be in the bathroom and see the bathtub full of water, the drain, the teaspoon, the cup, and the bucket. You actually, if you're in the bathroom, have a better chance of passing the test. I think even I could have passed that test. Now, this is just a joke and was testing, which I've never found historically for hospitalization as far as I know. But seeing things others don't see or having an interior vision of God does not cause you to be defined as mentally ill. In fact, there are criteria for that type of mental illness that need to be met, and this is the differentiation. How often do you have them? What is the nature of these visions and hearing or voices? Are they helpful or are they a nuisance or damaging? Are they good? Is there a good or negative outcome of these? Spiritual experiences have that good and positive outcome because they help keep us on the path, give direction, and energize us for the life of following Jesus' higher and more difficult path. These are meant to be shared in the New Testament and also among ourselves. But we have learned to keep them to ourselves, lest we be thought crazy. Jesus and his three closest disciples and Moses and those followers with him out into the desert did not keep it secret. They told the story. The voice from heaven tells who Jesus is, and we have benefited because they have talked about it. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but I was at the end of my seminary time, and I had learned that Christians weren't always very nice. I was a rather open soul, willing to talk and share whatever was within. And sometimes that doesn't work so well. Sometimes you need to be a little more private. But I was particularly wounded and wondering, what is this that I'm experiencing? I happened to be taking a last course among the courses in my last semester in seminary, the most popular course taught in the whole Graduate Theological Union, 11 seminaries, and this was the most popular course. It was filled with students. It was called Prayer and Human Wholeness. And the woman who was the professor, Flora Wollner, was this wonderful teacher. And she knew the life of prayer extremely well. So I came to her in need, looking for help. And she said to me, I need to learn the prayer of protection, to pray for protection. Hadn't even occurred to me, didn't even know such a prayer existed. And she gave me some good advice about that. Well, so I started to practice the prayer of protection. And without my knowing it, over the month about that I was practicing it, I was almost exclusively praying for protection. And one time in this prayer, I went into a very deep state. I don't know if you've ever prayed and go, wow, I went somewhere deep. Well, I was there. And the next thing I knew, I was in this wide open space. And all these clouds around me, there was nothing else to see. It was like a picture of heaven. But I was alone. And then suddenly, Jesus appeared. But he didn't look at me. He went like this. And then he jumped like this. And then he went this way. And then he went that way. And then he came back here again. And by the second time he started into this, I said, Jesus, this isn't funny. And he kept going. And then the next turn, I said again, Jesus, this isn't funny. And then he turned, and he was laughing to the point of almost tears in his eyes. And he put his arm around me, and he said, to love is your defense. To love is your defense. And then it ended. It was a good teaching for me. It's one that's guided me since I was 26 years old. And it's worth sharing. And it seems to really fit with all I've seen from Jesus in Scripture. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but Pastor Thomas told you a long time, and I heard it early in my faith walk too, that Jesus has a sense of humor. But you also might think Jesus is crazy the way he was jumping around. There is a good kind of crazy. And he's called us to it. This very high place, this very great way of living. Not as the world lives. And the way to get there is by being close to him, coming and learning from him. And embodying the word yourself. May we all come to believe even more that Jesus is the Son of God, God's beloved. And may we listen to him in every way that he comes to us. Amen. Oh, and by the way, please don't think I'm crazy. Especially you.